There's a man in New York City who is conjuring what we can taste in great restaurants across the country. Now, the chefs in those kitchens speak of him as though he's an oracle, a magician. They say his work elevates everything they cook, and yet they can't figure out how he does it. Lior Lev Circaz creates spice blends, elusive and evocative blends done by some insight and instinct. Now, he knows cooking. He was a chef for the French master Daniel Boulou, but he left that kitchen to open his own spice shop, Le Boîte à Épices, or The Spice Box, in New York City. And that's where he talked with food writer J.J. Good.
Hi, Lior. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, J.J. Good to be here.
So tell me a little about your background.
Well, I'm from Israel originally. I've been away for the last 14 or 15 years. I was born in a kibbutz in Galilee and started cooking fairly early, you know, when I was 10, 11. Not because my mother was a phenomenal chef or a restaurant owner. It's just because she was working late. So I had to prepare dinner. I got really into cooking at the age of 18 or 19 when I joined the military. So I was a sergeant, so I was in charge of the cooks. And then later on, I started cooking in a catering company. From there, I moved to France, went to the Paul Bocuse Institute, a very famous cooking school in Lyon, and stayed working 3 additional years in France, and moved to New York in 2002 to work for Daniel Boulud.
The legend, the man
the
himself.
The legendary, yeah. I stayed with him for about 4.5 years and until I decided to follow my own career and do what I do now, which is biscuits or cookies and spices.
And now how did you get into spices? I mean, there's so many things you could have done. You could have done pickles.
Mustards,
like everybody.
Oils.
Yeah. Why spices?
I think spices have to do a lot with my background, again, being from Israel and eating food with a lot of spices in it. And again, the big difference between spicy and hot. You could use spices, yet it doesn't mean that it's hot. Heat is a whole other element. And then really, I've noticed a very big lack of knowledge from my colleagues, you know, as chefs, not knowing about a lot of spices. I think the biggest change in my career was while I was living in France, in one of my jobs, I was working in Brittany, in the north of France, and I worked for a very renowned, famous chef called Olivier Rollinger. And he was very well known, still is, for his usage of spices. He travels a couple of times a year to India and Indonesia to really source a lot of spices. And going from an average French kitchen with about 10, 15 spices on the spice rack, you go to about 120. So that was a big change. And I was
so his
really...
pantry had about 120.
Oh, yeah. About 120. And
I couldn't even name 40 spices, I don't think.
Yeah, it's hard. But I was just blown away. And I was very curious. And he was very smart about it. He forced me to go back home and do my own research. And I just became really excited and passionate about spices. And spices were a way for me to express myself, you know. I enjoy the sourcing, so meeting farmers or growers in countries.
So here's what might be a silly question.
Sure.
Where do spices come from? I mean, I kind of have, in my head, I imagine they come from a factory in New Jersey or the supermarket.
That's what I usually tell people, that they don't grow in Ohio or in Idaho in a factory. They come from fields all over the world. There are obviously regions that are a bit bigger in growing spices, like Asia. So India, Indonesia, Vietnam. Then there's Turkey, a little bit Eastern Europe. So it's important to understand that they come from a field somewhere. In most cases, the terrain is very rough. So there's a lot of manual labor, not a lot of mechanical equipment that can go. So, and people still own very small parcels. So they will grow a few pounds or a few hundred pounds. And then from that moment on, they will travel to the local kind of broker, if you will, until we get them here in the U.S. There's a long way before we get them here. So sourcing both for the professional, but also for the home cooks. How do you know if a spice is good? How do you know where it came from? It's very hard when you pick up a jar in your local supermarket. I think the easiest way is just to, you know, look at them and see their color. You know, if there's a lot of pieces of dust in them and they're broken, something's already wrong. You know, and then you can teach yourself very easily, you know, if something has good flavor, if it smells good, then it's probably a good ingredient. And I would buy smaller quantities to start with just to get an idea if your source is good or not. And I always tell people that it's a waste of time to buy good meat, fish, and vegetables and season them poorly with bad salt or bad pepper.
Right.
So if you could spend a little bit of time educating yourself of what do you like? Do you prefer black pepper to white, to green, to pink? Do you prefer sea salt to mine salt, to iodized salt? There's no right or wrong. It's what's good for you.
Right. And so once you have these great spices, why not just sell these beautiful spices? So why? Because you sell blends. These amazing blends.
Correct. So I chose blending because I wanted to allow people to have one jar of a great blend versus having seven jars that they never use in right. their pantry. And I live in a very small apartment where every inch matters in the pantry. So I think that's a great tip for people who like to cook yet are, you know, don't have much space or much time. So that's where I can help them. What I also help them is to discover that even if they think that they don't like a certain cuisine, they don't really know what they're talking about. They actually do. They just had a bad experience in the, you know. And I also try to explain to them that there's no need to become something that you're not. You're not going to become an Indian cook or a Pakistani or Turkish because that takes years. But you could give your everyday dishes that you're familiar with a little note from those countries. One of my funniest clients who doesn't even cook, she just orders in and just adds the blend to whatever she orders. So she can order 5 days in a row white rice, but one day it tastes Moroccan, and the next day it tastes Southeast Asian, and so on and so forth. And she enjoys it for, I think it's fantastic. You know, I always say it's traveling without going anywhere.
That's amazing.
You can stay home and travel.
Right.
So that's why blending. I think it also tells stories of different cultures and different eating habits. And it makes just cooking fun. It takes it from the 2D to the 3D dimension.
Interesting. Lior, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here today.
Lior Lev-Sercaz's New York City spice shop is La Boite à Épices, or The Spice Box. Now, he was talking with food writer J.J. Good, who is co-author of chef Aaron Sanchez's book, Simple Food, Big Flavor. Lior shared a recipe from one of his friends, Apollonia Poilin, of Poilin, the famous Parisian bakery. Now, it uses the blend that he created especially for her of spices, cocoa, and orange blossom, can you believe? Now, you can find lamb meatballs with spinach salad at splendidtable.org.